The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Amateur Traveler, episode 131. Today on the Amateur Traveler, we talk to Elizabeth, who's a VIP tour guide at Walt Disney World in Orlando. We'll talk about our favorite rides, our favorite food, and all those little surprises. Today on the Amateur Traveler. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into the interview with Elizabeth, I do have two news stories for you today. The first news story I have for you today is good news for Kenya, anyone planning on traveling to Kenya, and the Kenya tourism industry. And that is that the United States has amended a travel advisory cautioning against travel to parts of Kenya, saying that threats of violence have dramatically receded following a political power-sharing deal. You may recall that there was a deeply flawed presidential election on December 27th, and there was, after that, quite a lot of unrest, bloodshed. About 1,000 people were killed, and so it took one of the stablest countries in Africa and made it someplace that tourists were avoiding in great numbers. But the good news is things are stabilizing in that country. And then the second news story I have for you is TripAdvisor has come out with a new survey on Europe's dirtiest cities. Number one is London. And London happens to be on my itinerary for a trip in May, as well as Athens, which tied Rome for number three. And since this survey, Athens is going through a garbage strike, so really looking forward to that. Links to both of these stories in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Elizabeth, by popular demand, who has come to talk to us about the Walt Disney World Resort. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. It's great to be here.
And I say by popular demand because I actually got in trouble because I had mentioned on a previous show that Elizabeth had written that she is a VIP tour guide at Walt Disney World Resort, and I didn't immediately invite her onto the show, and I had to apologize for that to a couple of members and correct this by inviting you on the show to talk about your experience. Now, first of all, you have a number of questions, as we've talked about beforehand, that people always ask you, some of which you can answer and some of which you can't. So let's start with those to just get those out of the way.
Okay. Everybody asks me, when I do a tour at Walt Disney World and it's a VIP tour, they always say, well, tell me, who have you to get around? What are the celebrities like when you take them on the rides? And yes, I have hosted celebrities, athletes, and things like that. But tour guides, they find that these guests are just like you and I, and they experience the park and enjoy it just like we all do. So they have fun moments and exciting moments out in the park, just like you and I, but I'm not here to drop any names or anything like that.
So we'll just get that out of the way. If you've listened to this show for celebrity gossip, thanks for coming. Have a good rest of your day. Okay. So what else do people ask you when they hear that you're a VIP tour guide?
How can I get on Space Mountain and not wait in line?
And break into the park is the answer there, or?
At the end of tours, I usually build relationships with my guests because you're with them all day and many times for several days at a time throughout their vacation. Okay. And one of my very favorite letters that a little boy had written, about 9 years old, he said, "Dear Elizabeth, thank you for taking us around Walt Disney World. If we didn't have you, we'd still be in line for Space Mountain." And I have that in a scrapbook, proudly shown.
But the trick you're saying to get to the front of the line is be Tom Cruise.
Exactly. And if you're not Tom Cruise, use the fast pass system or get there very early in the morning.
And we'll talk more about the details as we talk about strategies then. Okay. Anything else that you are always asked that we want to get out of the way?
Yes. Everyone wants to know how they can get a dinner reservation at Cinderella's Royal Table. And that is, if you have a young daughter in your family or someone who acts like a young daughter, so a young princess in training, they always want to eat in the castle. And to do that, you need to book with the dining people. Do that prior to your vacation. In fact, I think they take reservations between 90 and 180 days in advance to the day that you want to dine.
Any other things that we want to get out of the way? Otherwise, I'll start asking questions.
Oh, please do. I'm ready.
Okay, great. So first of all, despite the fact that this is a service that is not a cheap service, the VIP service, this is something that you don't make tons of money on, let's just say. So you do this because you love Walt Disney World, I'm going to guess.
Absolutely. I've been coming to Walt Disney World as long as I can remember. I'm a native Floridian. I don't remember my first time to Disney because we always came to Disney World.
Okay. And let's establish your credentials here. Your favorite ride is what?
Oh, I knew you were going to do this.
Of course I was.
Can we go by park? Because I have a favorite at each park.
And when we say by park, there are six parks last time I was there.
There are four theme parks.
And then the two water parks.
Two water parks, yes.
Okay.
Okay, here goes. At the Magic Kingdom, I adore the Hall of Presidents. At Epcot, I really enjoy Soarin'.
Okay.
And I enjoy over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. They just had a name change over there. It used to be called Disney's MGM Studios, but now it's Disney's Hollywood Studios. Rock and Roller Coaster, starring Aerosmith.
Okay.
And over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, I love and adore Expedition Everest.
Okay. I have not done that one. Okay. Before you started working at Walt Disney World, your favorite day in the park?
My favorite day in the park, my family, we would always have annual pass. We would get there right when the theme park opened, and we would stay until the fireworks. And we made a whole day of it. And my parents, looking back, they were very brave to take two kids around a theme park in Florida, hot and humid conditions all day. And I loved it. Back then, things were a little bit different in the parks. Characters were everywhere, and they were always hard to get in touch with. And nowadays, it's easier to have those meet and greet opportunities with characters. And I always remember the lines being really long, but that was never a deterrent for going to Walt Disney World. We knew we were going to go and wait in lines, and we were going to have a great day.
You talked about weather and the steamy Florida weather. Let's talk about overall strategy then. When would you recommend to somebody who has absolute freedom and flexibility, when should they come to Disney World?
I would suggest January. We're talking about months of the year. I really enjoyed the month of January and February. We've had a great 2008 here. I would probably skip summer all the way up until, you know, late November, December.
Because of the crowds and the fact that you get a thunderstorm every day at 5 o'clock.
That's correct. In the summer, guaranteed, you're going to get a 3 o'clock storm that rolls through. And it doesn't last long. It's a deterrent for most people, but not to me. I say put a poncho on and go hit the attractions. They'll be as long as there's not lightning in the immediate area. If it's outside, it will be shut down. But the crowds leave when the rain starts. So don't let that get to you. Buy a poncho and enjoy it. But we have hot, humid, sticky weather. And my favorite time of the day at Walt Disney World is right when the park opens. I have no problem going in a little bit before 9 o'clock. I love being the first one to walk on Main Street USA in the morning. The streets are clean because there's a third shift crew that has gone in and pressure washed the streets, and everything has been freshly painted and altered, and all the horticulture plants are just perfect. Nothing is out of place. And walking down and hearing the music and just being one of those first people into the park, our Florida mornings are gorgeous. The sun is always out and it's not too hot then. By 11 o'clock, you're ready to leave if it's summertime and take a break.
And strategies. I don't know that we can really cover all of the parks here. Let's take Magic Kingdom first, which is the one that is closest to Disneyland in Southern California. Your strategy for people is get there early, and then what do you do first?
I think that you do need to do some planning for your day, and if you are a family that enjoys the roller coasters and the thrill rides, you're going to grab fast passes for one of the mountains. Grab that fast pass and then go on the other mountain, like Big Thunder. While you're on Big Thunder, you're waiting for your fast pass time to happen. You might get in a couple other attractions, especially if you get there right at 9 o'clock, and then it'll be time for you to use a fast pass for, say, Splash Mountain.
And let's pause here for a second and let's not assume that everybody has been to the park and knows what a fast pass is or why they want one.
Okay.
So can you go into a little more detail? What is a fast pass and why is this really important to know?
Sure. A fast pass is included in your theme park admission. When you go through the turnstiles, your ticket is activated and you can go to most of our major attractions have the fast pass system, which is basically a virtual reservation or virtually standing in line. It's a reservation time to come back later when your wait time would be significantly reduced to 5 or 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So say you go into the theme park at 9 a.m. and you go right to Space Mountain. You stick your theme park tickets in a machine that's outside of next to the ride. The machine will spit back your tickets and it will also give you a reservation time. Usually if you pick 9 a.m. to go get your fast pass, you will be able to have a time on there that will tell you when to come back. Probably it will say between 10 and 11 a.m. So you have an hour free to go do something else.
Okay. And often it's going to cost me the same amount of time if I wait in the line or if I go do something else and then come back at the fast pass time, right?
Right. So you're using your time really wisely. You can go get something to eat, go ride another ride while waiting for your time to appear.
And what if I don't get back by 11 a.m.? You said I had a fast pass that says on it right there in black and white, 10 to 11 a.m. What if I don't make it back by 11?
Most of the time, they will accept a later time, but that depends on the attraction itself. So you really need to get back during your window.
Okay. How many can I have at the same time?
You can have one fast pass per ticket every 2 hours.
And then I interrupted you. You were at Splash Mountain before I interrupted for the fast pass.
Sure. So I'm thinking that if you're as interested in doing some of the thrill rides, your kids are a little bit bigger. Your mission is to get some of those thrill rides done. Get a fast pass for Splash Mountain. Go stand in line for Big Thunder Mountain. And then when you're done with Big Thunder Mountain, your time is probably come up. So it might be time for you to go on Splash Mountain. You go on Splash Mountain. As soon as you're done, you'll get a fast pass for Space Mountain. Those are rides that typically have the longest wait times. So you would want to get a fast pass for that and then do something else while you're waiting for your time.
Okay. Your favorite ride, and let's again go by park, that people don't go on. The favorite forgotten ride.
The favorite forgotten ride is the Hall of Presidents.
Okay, that's right. You already named that one as a forgotten ride. Okay.
It means a lot to me because as a young child coming to the park, my parents always said, well, we can't leave one on the Hall of Presidents. Maybe it's the teacher in me that enjoys the educational aspect of it, or that it's nostalgic because Walt Disney had his hands in that project, had an idea to do Great Moments with Abe Lincoln, and the attraction kind of grew out of that. And there are animatronic figures for each president, and they are as they were in office, the period of clothes, the way they looked. The last two presidents, Bush and Clinton, have provided their voice for a speech part of that attraction. So there's a lot of history that can be learned through that, and it's very patriotic. It's something that I think that everyone can appreciate. And it's 22 minutes of sitting in the air conditioned. So if it's midday in Magic Kingdom and it's scorching hot outside and you just need to cool off, that's a great attraction.
Okay. One thing we didn't talk about is where should you stay? Because there are some trade-offs there, whether you're staying on the property or off.
There are. And I have three favorite Disney hotels. Staying on Disney property is going to offer you a lot, especially if you are flying in to Orlando International Airport. The Disney resorts now include a shuttle that will pick you up and take you to the resort and then also take you back to the airport at the end of your stay.
Very nice.
So that will eliminate the need to rent a car, which you would normally needed to do, or get a taxi or a shuttle.
Mm-hmm. And other advantages of staying. So one of the advantages of staying off property is you might spend a little less money.
You might spend less money on your accommodation.
On your accommodation, right.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd miss out on the free airport shuttle. And what else would you miss out on?
There's something called Extra Magical Hour, and every theme park has a specified day where they will either open early for guests that are staying on Walt Disney World property, or they are going to be open late for guests staying on Walt Disney World property. I think that I would most definitely recommend that if you're trying to get everything in, because the park will be less crowded during those extra magical hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting a really good experience.
And then you had also mentioned the pools in the emails we were exchanging.
Yes, that has something to do with my three favorite hotels.
Okay.
I think it's a fantastic plan for guests that come to Walt Disney World to get up early to see the park. I know they're on vacation, but you get a lot of great weather early in the morning, less crowds. I would say go back to the hotel and take a midday break and enjoy the hotel and the pools. Go back to the theme park in the evening when, again, it'll be less crowded, better weather, and that much-needed break from walking around the theme park all day. Of three favorite hotels, my first favorite is the Contemporary. Now, this is a new favorite for me.
Okay.
I was recently over there last weekend, and they have done an amazing refurbishment to their hotel. They have the largest guest rooms on Disney property, a real modern design, very chic and sophisticated. The lobby has been redone. They're adding in a new restaurant as we speak. They feature the California Grill, which is on top of the Contemporary Hotel. The Contemporary Hotel is in walking distance to the Magic Kingdom, so you can choose to stroll over to the Magic Kingdom or take a monorail. So it's very convenient for families that need to go back for a midday break or a nap. You have great view of the Magic Kingdom if you're staying at the Contemporary as well.
Okay.
My second favorite hotel is the Yacht and Beach, and that is nearest to Epcot. You can walk over to Epcot from those two hotels too. But there's two things I think that are outstanding about that hotel. Their pool features a sand bottom, so it's like you're at the beach. You just don't have to worry about the fish and the jellyfish and all those critters and things.
Oh, funny.
The beach experience in a pool, and they have a lazy river, and you can rent rafts, and there's plenty of sand for the kids to build a sand castle. So I think that's probably a really big draw for Yacht and Beach Club. Disney's Beach and Yacht Club features a restaurant called Beaches and Cream, and it's a 50s style diner.
Mm-hmm.
The menu item that is outstanding there is called the Kitchen Sink, and it is a huge portion. You're going to need at least 5 to eat with you of ice cream. They use a whole can of whipped cream on this, so we call it everything but the kitchen sink, and they put every kind of ice cream flavor that they have in this gigantic dish, and they fill it with all the toppings and sprinkles that the restaurant offers, and a whole can of whipped cream. It's delicious, and you can make lots of friends.
So we do this after we've ridden the roller coasters, not before. Is that what you're saying?
Please.
Okay. And then I would also say, in terms of staying on property, we stayed even at just the lower end Disney hotels, the ones that are the themed ones, the music, and I'm trying to think what the other themes are. I think we stayed at the music themed, but it was nice. Just my kids enjoyed having the Disney experience just extended to just the grounds of the hotels themselves, even though they weren't the expensive fancy hotels. So I definitely understand what you're saying in terms of staying on the grounds of the Disney World. You had a couple surprising little known experiences, and I think you caught me by surprise with all of these, and I thought I knew the parks. So can you tell us some of your little secrets here?
Well, I think there's many different ways to enjoy the theme parks without actually spending the day on rides and attractions and things like that. Some of my favorite things to do at Walt Disney World are the runs. They do 5K runs if you're a runner,
mm-hmm.
5K and 10K. And if you're coming down, check out DisneySports.com. I know they do them in January, October, and May. And if you're a runner, you get up real early and you can run through the theme parks.
Huh.
Which, again, we have beautiful mornings. You get to see the park fresh and clean and nobody's in it. It feels like it's open just for you.
Now, so I have run through the theme park before, but there wasn't any T-shirt or prize at the end since this was just when they were dropping the rope. But
yes, that's a sporting event, too.
Okay. And then you had a couple other ones like that I'd never heard of.
Sure. I think maybe you might be referring to Disney Dive Quest over at Epcot. If you're a certified scuba diver, in the evenings, the dive master comes and takes groups out, and you can go inside the Living Seas Pavilion and scuba dive in there. It's really neat to see the guests from the other end if you're a diver, and you can see all the people looking at you in the tank. It's really, really, really experience.
And then you'd mentioned a fireworks cruise.
Yes, fireworks cruise. You can rent. It's something that you need to reserve in advance. A fireworks cruise will go, it will leave out of one of the Epcot resorts, or you can choose one out of the Magic Kingdom resorts. Those would be the hotels that are on the water. Mm-hmm. It's a private thing, just you and your family. They will take you out. They will cater it. If it's a birthday, they will put a Mickey Mouse shaped cake on there if you wish. What's so special about it is that the captain of the boat can turn on the music that the guests are listening to, so you can see the choreographed music with the fireworks. It's the best place to see the fireworks because you're not dealing with all the crowds afterwards.
Interesting. Okay. Any other little secret ideas like that?
If you want a Disney experience and you're not going to the theme park and you're just spending the day out and about, over at the Magic Kingdom Resorts, the Polynesian, Disney's Grand Floridian, Disney's Contemporary Hotel, they have these little water mice is what they're called. And it's a little two-seater motorboat, and you can rent that for a half-hour increments. So go out on the South Lagoon and have a real neat experience just enjoying the weather. And they offer parasailing as well.
And we should say at this point, and we didn't say at the beginning, that neither you nor I are getting paid to promote Disney here. We're just doing it because we love it.
True.
Just so people know, despite the fact that it may sound like a commercial here. So since we're talking about you and your love for Disney, your favorite show?
My favorite show, Festival of the Lion King, you will have goosebumps watching that show. It's a theater in the round setup. You feel like you're a part of that show. It's a real intimate theater. I have seen the show hundreds of times, and I still get goosebumps.
Favorite parade?
Well, I'm going to tell you that Disney's Hollywood Studios has just started something called the Block Party Bash, and that features the Disney Pixar characters. I have only caught the tail end of it. It's brand new, like a couple of days old new.
Okay.
And it looks fantastic, so I'm going to go for that.
Favorite restaurant in the park?
I would say the Moroccan restaurant called Marrakesh in Epcot.
Okay.
And I say that because I think that that's one that most people kind of skip over. They go for like Italy or France or Mexico, things that they can relate to. But you're on vacation, so try something new. In Morocco, they feature entertainment. I think every 30 minutes they have a belly dancer come out and two gentlemen play some kind of instrument. There's entertainment in there. It's a gorgeous restaurant inside, and it's not too far off food-wise. A lot of people say, well, is it spicy? Is there be something that I like? If you like chicken, you'll like that. And I also wanted to add in there, too, that one out of 24 people have food allergies. And Walt Disney World is terrific about accommodating. So if your child or yourself has a food allergy, they're more than prepared with alternatives and things like that that they can offer to you. I was recently in the park last weekend with a little girl, and she was allergic to the major 8 food allergies.
Oh, wow.
And her parents were so impressed that every time we sat down to eat, a chef came out. He was prepared to offer her things that she could eat. She was 6 years old. She had never had a waffle before because her parents could not find a waffle mixture that had the ingredients that she was able to eat.
She probably had wheat allergies, I assume, among other things.
An egg and dairy.
Oh, gosh.
And
all right,
soy.
Sure.
I mean, she had the major 8.
Sure, yeah.
And so, but the chef was able to accommodate her, and she had her first waffle at 6 years old at Walt Disney World because they are prepared for food allergies, and so many people are traveling with those nowadays. So,
interesting.
Know that you'll be safe if you come to Walt Disney World.
And I understand when you say people skip the Moroccan and go to the Italian because the Italian is Alfredo's, which has only 2 restaurants, one in Rome and one in Disney World Epcot, and they're the home of Fettuccine Alfredo. So there are a number of interesting restaurants. I don't think people realize, especially compared to Disneyland in California, I think there are a few more interesting dining options in Walt Disney World.
there are incredible dining options at Walt Disney. And Chris, I hate to correct you, but Alfredo's is no longer Alfredo's. And this is recent.
Oh,
so,
really? Okay.
Yes, this is recent.
That's okay. I can always just edit out you correcting me. It's not a problem.
You could leave that in there. Restaurant Alfredo's is now Tutu Italia. It's a new group that has come in. Alfredo's has left. And Tutu Italia, it means translated into everything Italian. And they do. They on their menu are the best of the best of the what the regions in Italy have to offer.
Oh, interesting.
And so
okay.
If you are into Italian food, Tutu Italia would be a really good option for you. But you're on vacation, try something new. Go to Morocco and try that, or Chefs de France, and they offer the best French onion soup that I've ever had.
Okay. Best food to grab and go.
Fish and chips over at England. Well, can I say that
also
sentence
Epcot,
again?
Then.
When you say grab and go, I think you grab your tray and you got to go find somewhere to sit. Dad goes and looks for a spot. Mom grabs the food and the tray, and the kids kind of like help move the food from the counter to the table.
Oh, I was thinking of grab and go and get online someplace.
Oh, okay.
Portable.
Well, that too. so you're thinking like a hot dog.
Or the skewers at Adventureland. Or...
Are you thinking about a turkey leg?
I wasn't.
Okay. You had said earlier, what kind of questions do people ask you a lot? And one question that I get asked a lot is, where can you buy those turkey legs?
Oh.
Do you know the kind of turkey legs that
oh,
I'm talking
yeah, absolutely.
About? Okay. People walk around with these gigantic turkey legs and in their hands. And there's two different kinds of people. There are the people that really want one and they enjoy that. And then there are the people who don't, that think that that's repulsive and disgusting. And so...
That would be men and women. Is that what we're saying?
No comment.
And what is the answer? Where can you find those turkey legs?
The turkey legs you can find in Adventureland in the Magic Kingdom. You can also find them in Tomorrowland in the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
And I've never had one, Chris.
You've never had one. Well, that's next time. And unfortunately, we have only so much time before the show starts to get a little long, so we're going to have to start winding this down, and there's no way we have answered everybody's questions yet. So let's just end with a couple quick questions. If I get as famous as Tom Cruise because this show becomes so successful and I come on the tour with you, what's your best tip that you give people who are on your VIP tour?
My best tip would be to enjoy it. You know, a lot of people come into the parks and they want to get it all done and they have a list. They hand me a list of all the attractions they want to see, all the shows they want to see,
uh-huh.
all the characters that they want to see, everywhere that they want to eat. Walt Disney World is huge. It is twice the size of Manhattan. It's a vast property. There's four theme parks and two water parks, a downtown area. You could be here for a long period of time and not see it all. The short time that you are here, enjoy it. Sometimes you get a list together, like the clipboard of fun, as I call it, and you want to stick with it. We will go on Space Mountain. After that, we will go on Buzz Lightyear. And a lot of times...
The Death March approach to the park. Yes, okay, I've been on that.
A lot of times you're going to experience some memories that will last a lifetime just wandering around. And an example of that would be in Tomorrowland, they have a trash can that has wheels and it goes around and talks and it's called Push.
Right.
Have you encountered Push before?
I have indeed.
And so if you're in, got your blinders on and you're like, and we will go and have fun and we will eat our turkey leg and we will see everything that the Magic Kingdom has to offer in just 8 hours, you might miss out on the streetmosphere and the little details. So enjoy it. You never know what's around the corner.
Yeah, we ran into a woman who was yelling at her crying child at one point. I think this was, may have been Disneyland. I don't recall if it was Disneyland or Disney World, and said, "How could you be unhappy? This is the happiest place in the world." Thinking, well, this is time to go back to the pool.
I was going to say, I don't think after 3 o'clock in the afternoon I ever see a smiling child because the parents want to try to get it all in. And you know what? They've saved for a really long time to come to Walt Disney World.
Right.
But there is so much to see and do besides the attractions and the shows that will create those memories that will last a lifetime.
And then, since we talked just a little bit about earlier when you were a child, your favorite character?
The big cheese himself, Mickey Mouse.
Okay. Any last comments for us? Tricks for Disney World and what people should know before they go?
People should go ahead and make a plan, have an itinerary, make those dining reservations if eating with the characters is really important to you, eating at special restaurants are important to you, because they will book up. And it's very easy to cancel a reservation. It's extremely hard to make a reservation once you're there if it's a busy period.
And I generally recommend both the Disney website and the unofficial guide to Disneyland. Do you have any other resources that people should be aware of?
A VIP tour guide.
A VIP tour guide. There you go. A wonderful, although somewhat costly, option, as I understand it. Well, thank you, Elizabeth, so much for being on the show and sharing with us both your knowledge and your love of Disney World.
Thank you so much for having me on, Chris. It was a pleasure talking to you.
I have one internet resource for you today, and that's an article from Mahalo that's called How to Book a Cheap Flight. And this article goes through how to do research, how to use flight comparison sites, how to keep track of fares to see if they drop, how to use traffic bidding sites. So it's a good overview if you haven't done some of this before. I'll put a link to that in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. In community news, one of the things that I knew was going to be a problem with this particular episode is, with as much as there is to cover on a Walt Disney World vacation, and as passionate as some people are about it, there was just so no way that we were going to cover all of the questions you would want me to ask, Elizabeth, and I didn't get that many questions ahead of time, and so what I have done is I've invited Elizabeth to join us at the live show, which is April 12th. At 9 a.m. Pacific or noon on Eastern Time, which is going to be on TalkShoe. And again, a link for that will be in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. So among other things, during the live show, one of the things we can do is we can fill in the gaps that we missed in this particular episode. So if you want to talk about Disney World, or even if you don't, but you just want to participate in the conversation in general or bring up other travel questions, join us at the live show. I did get some comments about the question about whether we're doing enough about domestic U.S. travel on the show. The general feedback seemed to be that the mix was better with more international destinations than with going 50-50, as had been requested. But I still would like to get some feedback on some good U.S. destinations. And I did get two particular pieces of feedback that I'd like to share. The first one comes from Allison, and what she wrote in part is, I have only recently discovered your Amateur Traveler podcast, and yesterday finished listening to all of the back episodes listed in iTunes. Wow. I have been able to travel some in life, 28 of the states, Mexico, Germany, Israel, Venezuela, and a couple months in northwestern China, which I would love to hear a podcast on, is often neglected. So many of the podcasts of yours that I've listened to gave me chills as I remembered visiting those places myself and seeing the things described brought me to tears. I live in New Mexico as a child and went back every summer growing up. Now that my husband and I have moved to Virginia from Texas, New Mexico seems so far away and given me much inspiration for future travel. I want desperately to visit all the national parks now. I spent my whole day at work on a computer, so I have been listening to your travel podcasts all day, every day, for a couple of weeks, trying to catch up, and was kind of sad yesterday when I realized that I would now have to wait with the rest of the world for your new podcast once a week. You asked for ideas for domestic destinations. I would love to hear a podcast on Lancaster County/Amish country in Pennsylvania. My husband and I and some friends are planning to go in October and would welcome suggestions on things to do and not to do. And so that is one request I got for specifically getting some information about a domestic destination where I'm looking for someone who is an expert on that. And then the other one I got was, I did get a request for a show on Georgia. And this email wasn't signed, but it's from somebody in Seattle. First of all, I have to say that your podcast has saved me many hours of boredom. with its interesting content and fascinating interviews with people all over the world. I'm so glad I discovered Amateur Traveler, which has also led me to other incredible podcasts, travel sites, and books. I recommend your podcast to everyone. In fact, they are probably sick of hearing about it. My favorite so far, I have a lot to catch up on still, though, is the New Zealand interview. The couple that did that interview just seemed like they would be a blast to hang out with and made New Zealand sound incredibly interesting. The whole thing made me want to hop on a plane, as do most of your podcasts. Anyway, you are requesting ideas for shows, so I'm coming forward and asking for your help. My brother-in-law is from Georgia, and my husband is wanting to plan a trip there. However, my father just got back from a business trip to Atlanta and was not exactly the voice of Georgia's Visitors Bureau. While he said they have a lot of fantastic golf courses, he said there's a lot of gimmicky places there that seem to just want your money, such as the Gone with the Wind house, etc. He's a bit hard to please, so it may just be him. But I haven't exactly been dying to visit there myself, to be honest. So my challenge for you is to help me find some great places in Georgia to visit in order to make the time worthwhile. So I would like to put that challenge out to the community. I've had one suggestion so far for someone who might be a good guest on Georgia, but if you love Georgia and you think you can express why you love Georgia and why people should come there, then you might be just who I'm looking for, especially if you have great pictures about Georgia, know some of the history, know some of the sites that we should see. Let me know and we can bring you on the show. Or again, if you know something about Lancaster County in Pennsylvania. If you have other suggestions for shows, both domestic and international, either somebody in mind who I should bring on, yourself if you want to volunteer, or a destination you'd like to hear more about, you can either, like our two writers did today, send me an email at host@amateurtraveler.com, or we are also having a discussion about some of those on the discussion board at amateurtraveler.com/board. So feel free to join that conversation. I'd love to get your input in terms of what you would like to hear more of. And we may not all agree, but it really helps me in terms of knowing what the audience is looking for. With that, we'll wrap up this show. Just said how to get a hold of me. There's also information on how to call me and leave a voicemail at amateurtraveler.com/contact. And as always, thanks so much for listening.